you ever asked yourself, if Jesus were alive today, what kind of car he would drive? What would be the vehicle that he would drive? I don't know. Some say, well, it would be a Honda Accord, because in Acts 2 it says they were all together in one accord. But I don't know about that. But, you know, as you know, we've been finishing the first quarter, just about, of 52 weeks of believing God. This is the theme. August 29th, last year, my birthday, much older than you, Linda, the Lord gave me the theme for 2009. And you know, believing God. And there's just, as I get lost in God's Word, I just said, this is incredible, this adventure. And, you know, there's just believing God. And last week, two weeks ago, we believed that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. We beheld His glory. For 2,000 years, humanity's been beholding His glory, especially those that receive Him. And then last week, what is His words? We believe in the Word of God, the Bible that God has given us, and we can live our life on it, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what the manifestos of the world say. And now today, we believe that if the Lord can use anything, are you ready for this? He could use me. He could use you. If the Lord could use anything, He could use us. I remember during the renewal years, we sang that great Brownsville song, you know, Come Ride With Me. Remember that song? You know, I'll ride with you, Lord. Well, here it is. The days before Easter, 2,000 years ago, we remember Jesus entering Jerusalem in a strange vehicle, a donkey. You know, the donkey's got a bad rap over the years. You know that? You know, Jack Donkey and all these other names, not so nice. You know, I don't know why. I know it can't be from here, you know. Some of you are getting that. You're smiling. Okay. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 9, English Standard Version here. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and He will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, and the foal of the beast of burden. The disciples went, did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put them their cloaks, sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went before him and followed him. We're shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna, the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna to the highest! Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you today. Lord, if you could use anything, you could use us. Lord, we will be your donkey. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have a chance to usher in glory. We bless you today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let everyone know as they leave this place in the name of Jesus, Lord, that your desire to rest upon them, to ride your glory upon them in the name of Jesus, so their lives could be transformed, their families, and everybody that comes into the intersection of love as they bump into us in life. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, the Lord chooses the vehicle. We don't. He chooses the vehicle. And guess what? He's choosing you. He is choosing you. He desires to show His glory. See, He takes pleasure on doing things contrary to the religious system, contrary to the political system, contrary to the world. He loves it. He'll take a donkey, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the living water, and He'll show His glory. He loves to take sinners that He has saved and transformed and then show them off before the world and say, look what we made together. Because you know what? That's what divinity and humanity come together. God takes you and I. He takes us, what we see in our darkest moment, this mess, and He breathes on us and He molds us and then He rides upon us and He says, world, this is my love letter to you. World, this is my hope for you. And He's picking you up and He's doing it. And He's doing it. And he wants you to know, as we walk through these certain traditions, I go through this every December and every Good Friday and Easter, that God is desiring to do something greater than we ever seen before. He wants to show us things so deep that you'll be amazed. He wants to pour out his glory and his presence, his holiness, his joy on your life right now. As I've been saying, you and I are his living love letter, his living epistle. And he's no respecter of persons. And he uses his humble story to say that I picked the vehicle. I picked the mode of operation. And I pick you. You, some of you are saying, you know, I so remember when I chose the Lord. Listen, excuse me, you really didn't choose him. He chose you before the foundations of the world. He said, this is my son or daughter. And maybe the demon spirits, maybe the angels, who knows? Maybe he said, are you sure, God? Yes. I will bless who I choose to bless. And if you're here today, it could be the darkest moment of your life. Whether you've never believed or you believed once before. And God is saying, I want you to be my vehicle. I want to rest on you. And I want you to carry me everywhere I go. God even desires to choose men and women who are donkeys for his service. Like me. If I were God, I would have never chose me. I'm still amazed. Those who are base and unimportant in the eyes of the world's judgment. The religious world are also confounded and amazed to whom God chooses to use. Gideon, the least in the family, or Naaman's little maid, or Amos, the picker of sycamore fruit. How about a New Testament light? Turn to 1 Corinthians, if they don't show it up here. 1 Corinthians 1, 27, 28, 29. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And that's why I love you young people, Pastor Nate. Young people, that's why. See, God so wants to entrust you beyond your ability, beyond your tenure, beyond your all the stuff you go through when you grow up. He so likes to take his glory on those on the other end of the pendulum. You look at that. Pick up that bulletin placard. God isn't finished. He saves the best for last. Look at all those people around Mary Dearborn are over 55. She keeps on lowering that age. I wish you wouldn't. God saves the best. He pours out his spirit upon sons and daughters, upon handmaidens, upon senior citizens, upon newly saved, and even the heathen in the midst of their mess. He says, hello, I want to ride. I would like to ride on your life. Will you carry me? Now, in the process, he's going to take care of business. He'll bring out the brushes of his word. He'll bring out the borax, or how many remember Dutch cleanser of his spirit? I just age myself. God chooses what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, listen, to bring nothing, listen, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Look at David the shepherd and the Benjaminite. He was a total non-entity in the eyes of his own family. Of the eyes of the royalty of Israel. He was like nothing. His father even forgot him in an initial lineup when the prophet came. That's why I get upset when people say, oh, Pastor, will you visit this person downtown or this or that? You know, he or she would make a great Christian. Oh, really? God takes a shepherd boy and makes him a king. Just like God, isn't it? 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected Saul. I rejected the others. For the Lord looks not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The vehicle that God chooses, it was such a prophetic statement of New Testament grace and mercy when Jesus says, "Bring me a donkey." Could ask for a chariot. Speaking of chariots, they actually had Ben-Hur on the other night. I remember those chariot races, you know. Number two. Now, once we say, "Yes, Lord, if you use anything, you use me," the Lord then has to do something with the vehicle. He has to loosen the vehicle. And some of you right now seem to be between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, I wish I could say he does this one time. But on my car, those of you who know me, I still got the green truck, 300,000 miles. I still have the 1978 Chevy. Periodically, you got to do stuff to them. And periodically, the work of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Godhead has to do stuff with us to loosen us. And some of us, it's re-loosening us in preparation for the Master. Verse 2 from the text, Matthew 21:2, he's saying to them, "Go to the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied in a colt with her." Listen, unloosen or untie them and bring them to me. In the midst of a miracle could be limited. A miracle could be limited in your life if you don't allow the work of God, the people of God, the Word of God to loosen you. When Jesus resurrected Lazarus, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus is kind of scary. I would have he was like a mummy bouncing on his toes, coming out of the tomb. Jesus said, "Loose him." And you might find yourself as the motive of operation for God. You've recognized that God can use you. You're his vehicle. But then the next thing that happens, God has to change the tires. He has to put new oil. Hello? New oil in you. And then sometimes we have enough of rejection, enough of insecurity, enough of fear, enough of sin, where God says, "Loose her, loose him." It's not going to be another church. It's not going to be high impact platform. It's going to have to be a continual loosening. Loose her, loose him, and make him free. Loose the donkey, loose the vehicle to empower it, and cut off the grave clothes. God, for some of you today, wants to cut off the grave clothes. He wants to give you some new spark plugs. Old Lou over there, Seal Cup, working on the Dodge, and the pastor, he goes, "What made you ask for new spark plugs?" I go, "Well, I don't think we ever put any in there." He took them and he goes, "I don't know how this thing was driving, man. Look at the tip, it's gone." They go, "They're all like that." I go, "God's grace, yeah." I just got the anointing to take vehicles and watch them last forever. But I still got to help. God chooses men and women who seem like donkeys, but command the church to loose them from the world, not write them off, and then send them back in the world. Shiny new vehicle. You say, "Well, I'm old." Hey, listen. I don't know if you noticed the last few days, it's been like 1955 Chevy, 1957 Chevy. Some of those beautiful cars, man, they got character. She's like some of your characters. I'm in there with you. Church cannot have be a respecter of persons, but must realize the value of those that God desires to use. I think that's one of the reasons why I love this church. I could take the microphone and walk around. I just go, "Matt, you're a little boy." Remember, forget when I met Pastor Nate. He was young. He was a man of God, preacher. When I met Chris, Ron, Bill, Fred, Tom. My, I could go on and on. Paul, hear the story. See what God's done in your life. He's done in our life. God commands the loosing of the vehicle, and it takes work, and that's why he has Ephesians 4. God gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers not to be lifted high, but to lift others high, even above themselves, and equip them to do this incredible work that we get to do, the work of the ministry, the only hope of the world, the only stimuli package that works. I don't even like the word. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of God, or the Lord of glory. How about the immoral woman? Simon the Pharisee, he failed to see any value in that prostitute. Nothing whatsoever. A non-prostitute female in the first century was nothing. Wasn't much different than a donkey in the eyes of the religious leaders. The religious leaders I'm talking about back then. Simon was no different. But he had to learn, like all of us, that Jesus makes saints out of sinners. Aren't you glad? Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Standing behind him at Jesus' feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, the Pharisee said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The Lord commands the loosing of the vehicle. Number three, the Lord has use for the vehicle. He has use for you. He saves the best for last. He likes taking young people. He likes taking the simplicity of this world to confound those that just are all caught up over themselves. The Lord has use for the vehicle. Will you be his vehicle today? Matthew 21:3, if anyone says anything to you, you shall simply say, the Lord has use of, or the ESV says, the Lord needs them. The King of glory needs us, needs you. Isn't that incredible? So incredible. God needs men and women who are willing, rather than the proud horse and all its pomp and circumstance. God finds it easier to use men who seems to have less going for them than men or women who have to unlearn all the worldly or religious training. This is a time for the fornicator to become a free man. This is a time for the prostitute to prepare the bride of Christ. This is a time for a liar to become truthful. This is a time when the common man, like the fisherman, becomes the man of God and fishers of men. Only God could do something like that. Let me tell you, a geopolitical system, a religious system can't do that. Only God could do that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, anyone, I don't care how old the vehicle is, how much it originally cost, how much it's leveraged out in upside down debt, if anyone be in Christ, they're a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Aren't you glad? Like I told you, on the Speed Channel, they have the, who are those auctioneers? Speed and who are they? Thank you. A 1969 Camaro Z28 going for $400,000. And I remember my wife's 1969 Camaro, I think she bought for like $1,100 when I met her in college. And that thing is knocking down more money than any of the newest Escalade or whatever they are, or, you know, Triumph. They make Triumphs anymore. I don't know. All people are needed. Jesus chose his disciples. Listen, from the world, not the temple. There you go. He could use us. Lord, if he could use anything, use me. Remember that song? I like that song. Not one from the temple. For he could teach the untrained. But he's quite obvious he couldn't teach the Pharisees. Are you easily teachable? No, you know what I've come to find out all these years later, 28 years later, preaching this gospel? I need him more now than ever. And I know less now than when I thought I knew it all. When I was his youth pastor. Not this youth pastor. He's humble. But when I was a youth pastor, I know less now. Because when we see him, the one who chooses a vehicle, we say like Paul, the credentials mean nothing. Oh, that I might know you. Oh, Jesus, the lover of my soul. Oh, the one who didn't write me off. Next, number four, from verse 4 and 5. The Lord rides, and he likes to ride a prepared vehicle. You know you do if you're going more, a ride farther south and west in Orlando and farther north in St. Augustine. You put air in the tires, you check all the stuff on it. You don't have to do that. You haven't driven in my cars. If I'm going past Orlando, I do a whole bunch of extra things. The Lord rides a prepared vehicle. He puts us up on a lift. All the more when things start sagging. He does all kind of stuff. Puts oil and fluid and drains us. And why some people aren't here today. They had too much hot chili yesterday. Let me go on. We'll give them grace to not hear this morning. I almost didn't make it. Oh, God. If I run off that platform, somebody's going to have to. Well, thank God we have all these ministers here. They can take care of it. Verse 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and the colt and the foal of the beast of burden. God chooses men and women who are people whom he could trust, who do not buck and kick, but rather quickly obedient to his every command. I remember when our kids were little, and we used to teach them that slow obedience was the same as disobedience. And sometimes we hem and haw, we kick and buck, we want to do it our way, we don't want to do it God's way. That simply reminds us that there's a little bit more preparation needed to be done in our heart, in our life. The rebellious and the self-willed have no place for the service. No matter how brilliant they may be, no matter how great they could sing, or even how many gifts they have, God could no longer use King Saul, for he could not be trusted and retrained. 1 Samuel 15:22-23, some of the most humbling words in Scripture. Samuel the prophet says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It's a question. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, witchcraft, and presumption is as idolatry and iniquity. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. Some manuscripts use the word counsel. The Lord has also rejected you from being king. How about Moses, the servant of God? Meekness or obedience to God was not part of the early life of Moses, who slew the Egyptian, did things his way. However, as God started preparing Moses, breaking things down that needed to get broken, empowering him and giving him something, Moses had to go through some hard things. But something very interesting about Moses, after he was broken and then God was saying, okay, now it's time to lead my people and lead my nation. Moses then got a little bit insecure. And he said, God, the only thing I got is this old shepherd staff, this rod that I carried, a shepherd's rod, and it's a reproach to even to be a shepherd. This is the only thing I have. And God said, that's just the way I want you. See, I'm preparing you, Moses. Now let me show you what that rod will do. Lay it down. And you know what it did. It became a snake. It turned water into blood. It called down the plagues of God. It brought water out of the rock. And after Moses was rebroken and prepared and saw the glory of God in his emptiness, if you could look for yourself in Scripture. Look at a story. Chronicleize it and just show me something different. Maybe in a far-out translation you might, but from that day forward, he never called his rod his rod. He called it the rod of God. And maybe that's the whole thing about being a vessel of honor, a prepared vehicle. Somewhere along the line, we recognize it's not my car, it's God's car. It's not my ministry, it's God's ministry. It's not my family, it's God's family. Meekness was developed in Moses, but it's amazing. It had to be developed in the wilderness of life. That's where Moses learned meekness, in the desert experience. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, his first message he ever preached, he didn't waste any time. He said, blessed are the meek, for they're the ones who really inherit. They inherit the earth. Matthew 21:7, they brought the donkey and the colt, put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Like I said, the Lord rides a prepared vehicle. It's beautiful when we get liberated and we throw ourselves at the mercy of God. It's like you don't have to demand authority. You don't have to demand provision. It's like the children of Israel, when Moses took them out, people were throwing silver and gold on them. They were throwing provision on them. It's amazing. And when we allow this old car of life to be submitted to the Lord and his ways and beyond our single way, and it's amazing what happens. He just starts throwing his provision, his peace, even in the hardest times. He allows the truth of God's word to get richer and richer and richer. I've preached this gospel for so many years, but I get lost in one verse and say, God, your word is honey, it's ointment, it's amazing that we could taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord rides a prepared vehicle. Not something that bucks and rides like a stallion or a bull that needs to get broken. And these bulls need to get broken. David said, it was good that I was afflicted. I might know thy statutes and judgments. See, we think we know it all. But it's not until we get broken that we really know. God chooses men and women who are willing to be donkeys when they avail themselves to be dressed for the service of the king. They give time for being prepared and developed in character, like Esther, with the garments of godliness to be fit vessels for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from that which is dishonorable, he will be a vessel. May I also use the word vehicle for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful for the master of the house, ready for every good work. You know, Peter, before his service, he had to be constantly disciplined. Well, same, that's where we get the word discipline, isn't it? Disciple. He had to constantly be disciplined by Jesus, Peter, seemed like. Open up mouth, stick in foot, use his sword the wrong way, cuss off somebody's ear. Emotional, energetic, opportunistic. But he had to get rid of his own self, lack of self-control, so that God could use him. Now he could preach and write advice for others after he goes through the valley of brokenness. 2 Peter 1:5, 6, 7, and 8, for this very reason, Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. For if these things are yours and increasing, they'll keep you from being ineffective or unfaithful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't write this for about 30 years after he failed and denied Jesus. Then God says, this isn't specific of God's redemption. Now, Peter, guess what? You're going to speak some of the most incredible words of truth. In closing, number 5 from verse 9. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who came in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. What does that mean? After he prepares us, the Lord gets the praise, not the vehicle. You take that 1969 Camaro, you take that 55 Chevy that's completely manicured and undone and fixed, you take the greatest antique, let me tell you something, it can't move one inch in its own without somebody driving it. See, it's really not about the donkey after all. It's not about the vehicle after all. See, it's not really about us. It's not about a pony show. It's not about the perfect setting so I could praise God. Oh, get over it. Get persecuted. Watch your children get thrown to the lions and be forced underground oh my God. See, it's not about us. It's not about the vehicle. It's not about what I desire, my rights. It's not even about my preferences. It's about the conviction of God. It's about Him. The Lord gets the praise. Not the vehicle. Not the vehicle. The crowds went before Him. They followed Him. They're shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, if it was a great chariot, it wouldn't have been about the chariot. So certainly, if God could use a donkey, He could use you and I. Because it's not and never is to be about us. God, help us in this next revival, in this next address change. Listen, the only way we're going to have more of Him, more of His presence, more revival, more of the Great Commission, the more of ushering His return, is that God, help us to decrease. When William Seymour, the usher of many modern Pentecost in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, the anointing, when it fell in that old building and people from around the world of every denomination came to get in the presence of that of God and a revival would break, he would sit down and hide himself and he would preach in an old wooden box. And revival broke out. The last month of the Great Welsh Revival was like a gunshot across the northern Atlantic. And it went over the eastern United States. It went over the center part of the country and arrested in L.A. in the hood of a one-eyed black man. God used that vessel, that donkey, and they called him. You better be sure they mocked him. And he would feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit and he would lay down and put his head in a wooden box, a shoe box, and preach. And a place would shake. And women of society, people of authority, and religious leaders would beat their chests and cry, God, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God, teach us to decrease. Get over ourselves. Get over the atmosphere. Get over it. Learn how to be faithful unto death. The people that you've counted on for more than 5 years, 10 years, that have been with you, they should be priceless to you. But I'm going to tell you, on a hill called Calvary, 2,000 years ago, before he said it is finished, he came in riding on the most humble, burden of beast. And that's who he's going to use in this last day revival. It simply says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the mind to give every man according to his or her ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. Would you stand with me, please? I really don't know how to end this service. I don't need atmosphere either. I should. Probably more would happen. I wish I did. I wish I could sing a song to move you to tears. My God, let us decrease. Now listen, whether you've known him for 30 years or whether you're going to know him today, if you want to be God's vehicle, would you step out of your seat and come here? I don't care if there's 300 people here. It doesn't matter. We got time. See, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about preaching. It's just, it's early. My God, I'm hungry for his presence. I'm hungry for holiness. I'm hungry for unity. I got to preach 5 o'clock this afternoon at the Y. They asked me and two other ministers to preach on unity, that we might be one. I go, my God. How are we going to be one? God, help me. God, help us. God, help us. I was walking in that dirt on the property, over the concrete, seeing what God is doing. I'm talking to Jesse, the site supervisor. I said, you know, Jesse, after we built this new building, it seemed like within a short period of time, we couldn't even go back down to one service. We had to go back into two services. I said, but I just opened my heart to the site plan supervisor. He's a godly man. I said, but you know, as this place opens up, we got to offer them more than a song, more than a homily, more than a good youth program. This world is so beaten up and battered and broke. If we could just get a little lower, so that the only thing this world sees is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the healer of broken hearts and broken bodies, the God who owns 1,000 hills and all the oil and diamond and money in it. We've built too small, even in a new building. Would you be his vehicle today? Please be his vehicle. You don't have to trade in. You don't have to trade up. He loves you. If he could use a donkey, he could use you and me. Stop looking for pleasure, performance, or his presence. In the right setting, the right nation, the right city, the right church. How about if you be the right person that God could use? Where will we be when our rights and our freedoms collapse? Maybe in 5-10 years. Will you run and scatter when they usher us off to jail for preaching the gospel? Will you find a user-friendly place where they smile and do whatever the society wants, the government wants? God's looking for her. I don't have the right to be here because I'm with you. I'm not anybody above you. Father, I just ask you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to be your vehicle, Lord. We want to be your vehicle, Lord. This world is more educated than ever was before. They have such incredible technology and performing arts and illusions. God, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's only by your Spirit that rests on a willing vessel, a willing vehicle, a willing jackass, if you would. And Lord, I'll be it. We'll be it. Teach us to decrease so that you can increase. Because it's not about the vehicle.